Thank you for tuning us in. I'm Daryl Bailey, Servants for Christ. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I hope and pray that you're having a wonderful Sunday here as we get into our Bible studies for life in the series, Being an Authentic Church. Here in session three, we'll talk about growing in Christ with all of our shut-ins that over the years that we've been sharing this with, here April the 28th, 2024, the 20th Nisan, 5784 of the Hebrew calendar. Here as we begin to look at to be an authentic church, based on the scriptures of the book of Colossians, that we can draw from a lot of things, that we can have that type of prayerful intercession that we normally have with one another. But the book of Colossians is written by the Apostle Paul, addressed to the Christian community in the city of Colossae. In the letter, Paul addresses several things. Christ is supremacy, the preeminence of Christ in all things, and the image of an invisible God, the firstborn over all creation and the head of the church. He reaffirms the message, highlighting the work of Christ's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God. He encourages believers to continue growing in their faith, rooted and built up in Christ, to live in obedience to Him. And he warns against being led astray by false teaching and traditions. Here, Paul exhorts believers to put off the old self and put on the new self. And it's all about love and compassion, forgiveness and gratitude. He emphasizes one of the most important things as we grow in Christ, and that is in the unity of the body of Christ, the need for a mutual submission and encouragement. Here, as we look at the instructions for Christian living, growing in Christ, in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 14 and verses 21 through 29, he addresses the relationships within families, workplaces, and the communities to encourage all believers to pray, to be wise in their conduct, and to make the most of every opportunity to share the gospel. And so, here we look at a church that can reflect the authenticity. And so, as we do this, each and every one of us, we learn about how that we are able to go forward and grow in Christ. When we come to Christ in faith, we don't come to Christ alone. We also come to His body, the church. And we are brought into His body where we grow in Christ, serving God and those around us together. That is what it's all about, being an authentic church. Amen. And so many of us, when we look and realize that through the instructions, as we gather together on this journey in the Word of God, we get deeper and deeper to learn more about being an authentic church. Our focus will be drawn from these insights. And I'm glad that when we look at the book of Colossians and what the authenticity of a Christian is all about, that we're able to open our hearts and minds to be transformed by the living Word of God. And I'm glad that through this, we can look and become a church that reflects on the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. And so here we've talked about being built on Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We talked about in session 2, sharing Christ in Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18 through 20, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Here this morning in session 3, growing in Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, and verses 21 through 29. Later on, we'll get into session 4, Psalms 34. Session 5, not only with worshiping God in session 4, but serving in Christ in session 5 in Ephesians chapter 4. And then lastly, later on in session 6, doing life together in Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm glad here this morning, growing in Christ as we look. Charles Spurgeon talked about church growth, and he said, Growth in grace is sometimes known by the effects. Listen, when the soul is soft, the heart tender, when the eyes are quick to weep at the sight of Christ's cross, when the ear is apt to hear the voice of the Spirit and the hand ready to obey the will of God, unquote. Here, when we look in Asia Minor of Southwest Turkey in the time of Paul in Colossae, we see about growing in Christ. Now, how many of you have ever really did an acronym of the book of Colossians? Because the acronym represents the keys and the aspects of growing in Christ. For the C, Christ-centered living. For the O, obedience in God's word. For the L, love for God and others. For the O, oneness in Christ's body. For the S, spiritual maturity. And then for the S, service to others. For the I, intimacy with God. And then we see abiding in his presence. As we continue to spell the book of Colossians, we see nurturing faith and discipleship. And lastly, the S, sharing the gospel with boldness. Amen. I'm glad that there was no one that went out there and begin to do more for the church than Paul, praise God. But I'm glad that one of the things that happened so much when we look back at Asia Minor in Southwest Turkey in the time of Paul, we look at all of the things of that day and time, that even when we look right here in the newest part of Colossae here today, even though all of these old times in past, we look and we're reminded that if you don't, you can bring in new births, but if you don't mature them, if you don't take time to teach them, you know what? The need for the nurture of mature Christians to grow in their faith, it's easy for the church to celebrate all of those decisions at Vacation Bible School, at all of those new decisions for Christ where they begin to come in and they're newborn Christians. But spiritual new birth is only the beginning. You got a long ways to go, pastors, teachers, deacons, because we must be just as eager to help those spiritual babes grow to maturity in the strength and in Christ. And so in order to do that, we've got to be able to continually teach them and nurture them on the milk till they're strong enough to get on the meat. And so, you know, you would imagine a newborn left abandoned, helpless, and alone. It's a heartbreaking reality faced by many infants all over around the world. And yet, just as physical babies need nurturing to grow, they need their mother's milk, praise God. Spiritual infants require the guidance of mature Christians and believers to flourish in their faith in their journey of the Christian walk. And so, this morning, let's explore how that we can encourage, how that we can assist one another in thriving in Christ and being able to grow in Christ. Because as the Bible meets life, we realize that throughout the world, babies get abandoned. In 2019, in an article on an infant abandonment in Asia, they reported an estimated 2 million baby girls go missing each year in China and India. They're selectively aborted, killed at birth, abandoned, and left to die. And the problem also exists in neighboring countries like South Korea and Nepal. But you know what? It's not nearly as common, but infant abandonment also happens right here in the United States of America. The national safe haven that you're looking on this list right here reported in 2021 alone, 31 babies were placed in dumpsters, found in backpacks, discarded in other dangerous locations throughout the United States of America. It's so shocking to us because it's not normal for a mother to bring a child to birth and then abandon her newborn. It's our nature to want to nurture our children to maturity. What's true with physical newborns is also true with spiritual infants. They need the nurture of mature Christians to grow in their faith. And so, you can celebrate all of these decisions for Christ, but you've got a long ways to go because that's just the opening door. You need to hang around a long time, long enough to know what that's all about. You probably just got your feet wet. You don't really know what it takes to nurture a newborn into the family of God. You've got a long ways to go. But if you'll listen, you'll learn a little bit from Paul here about Colossae and what he had to do to grow the Christians, the newborns, into Christ. Now, I'm glad that here we see just that, just what I just said. And I'm glad that how dangerous it is. Thank God for the National Safe Haven Alliance, that right now they have a lot of stipulations, but of those stipulations is an infant must be 30 days old or younger. That's the restrictions that are come into the National Safe Haven Alliance, amen. And so any on-duty staff member at a hospital, emergency department, fire station, police station, or many of the places that they drop off babies and leave them throughout America. And so the infant must go be directly handed to the provider, and the provider to notify the Department of Human Resources within 24 hours of that baby being dropped off. Here is the crisis hotline 24/7 that you can call, 1-888-510-BABY-2229. How sad it is that these things happen. But remember, since this has been going on, since they've had the National Safe Haven Alliance, this year has been 29 babies. And since it started in 1999, 4,783 babies that have been dropped off in America since the National Safe Haven Alliance has been formed. How sad that it is in America today. But we see that here there's an urgency of spiritual growth. We can help one another grow in godly character and be fruitful. In verses 9 through 14, the intimacy with God before one can develop a godly character, it often starts with cultivating a deep and intimate relationship with God. A regular prayer, studying the Word, spending time in His presence, allowing that love and truth to shape your heart and mind. And so, I'm glad when we look at this, we look at the intimacy, the service, the character, the grounded, and the maturity of all that it takes, just like you have a little baby that grows up to adulthood, that we can help one another grow in godly character and be fruitful, praise God. And so, just as that newborn needs constant care, so do new believers require nurturing to mature them in the family of God on their faith journey, praise God. And so, imagine in the book of Colossians that we look and we see what is transpiring, because let's pause and let's open up for a time of prayer with those ones that need a touch from our Lord and Savior, because many of us, as we go through life today, as we try to grow in Christ, many of us are going to experience a lot of things that we're going to learn ourselves, because until you take time to nurture somebody in the ministry or to be able to grow up, you're still learning a lot of things yourself. And so each and every one of us, as we look and realize how blessed that we truly are when the Lord begins to give us the message that we need to hear, praise God, that's something that we've got to learn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the book of Colossians. As we begin to grow in Christ, as we listen to the wonderful, powerful Word of God, I ask God that you will open gates and doors this morning. Go behind locked doors to penetrate and to rescue someone, Lord, that they're just, all they know, they got saved, but they haven't never, not one time, been able to grow. Lord, they don't know much about you at all. Their relationship is so vain. Lord, they're stuck on themselves and the things of the world, and they ain't really got to the important part of learning the intimacy of a relationship with a Heavenly Father that loves them dearly. But Lord, they, in a sense, have abandoned you because they've never taken the time to learn about their relationship with a Heavenly Father, with a Holy Spirit, with a loving Savior that went to the cross of Calvary and paid it all just for them. Lord, they're just going up and getting up every day, and Lord, they're just taking everything for granted. They haven't matured. They haven't grown. And Lord, they've got a lot to learn, but Lord, they've never taken the time. Go behind those doors, open up those gates, and bring them in. And Lord, do what no one else can do. I pray for our church. And Lord, even though as today, Father, Lord, is many things that we've got to take care of our families when it calls for. The importance of those issues, those are the most important thing. But we pray for our church at Bethel Crossroads. We pray for our pastor, for our leaders, and we ask that you'll go and continue to build and to minister within the walls of the ministries at Bethel Crossroads Baptist Church. Thank you so much, Father, for what you do, for all the many efforts, for the many that can go, that can do, and Father, that have the strength. But Lord, there'll come a time when they won't be able to, and they can only do what they can do to give glory and honor to you. Father, I pray that you'll trust the many out there that are shut in. That's the main purpose that I continue this since the 22 years ago that we started doing this as a pastor, that we did it for the shut-ins, and we still think of those that are shut in today. Many can go out to the house, but many cannot. And so, Lord, I send this out to those throughout the world that are not able to go into the house of God. And those, even that if they are, they can still retain and listen to a Sunday school lesson through the Bible studies of life and through their material. We give glory and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, start with me. And Lord, I pray that you'll not get done till you go across this world and across this country. And Lord, that you'll open up the gated hearts of the many that have closed them and behind the doors of those hearts, and do a great work in their lives to mature, because they need to be around somebody else that's been serving you a lot longer than just a little while and just been preaching for just a little while. They need to be around someone that's mature. The wisdom of the church, the wonderful saints of God that have been there for a long time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. When Paul wrote here, he desired to visit with those at the church in Colossae. Amen. He experienced opposition, but their situation needed attention. And this strong church was facing trouble from all of the teachers within that were causing problems. To grow in Christ, they needed to rid themselves of all of those false doctrines, teachers, and commit to helping each other grow in Christ. And so I'm glad that when we look at the knowledge of his will, here, many Christians, they got discouraged by the lack of spiritual progress in their lives. Growing in Christ is hard work. It ain't just a give me thing. While God does the heavy lifting, we're required to do some sufficient work as well. And that's why we must pray to be strengthened with all of the power that he'll give us. I'm glad. Are you praying about your growth? Paul kept praying for the Colossian believers so that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the more that we become filled with the knowledge of God's will, the more likely that we'll be able to obey it. That's why prayer is so vitally important, that we don't want our growth limited to what our efforts can accomplish. We desire the change in our lives that only God can bring. Praying for God's will assumes that we hope to align our lives in that direction if we pray according to his will, praise God. And so when we look and realize here, for this cause also, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here again is the urgency of spiritual growth, praise God. What he's telling us is that we have always prayed for you, and ever since we heard about you, we ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, with the wisdom, with the understanding that his spirit gives. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm glad that here that we'll be able to live as the Lord wants and wills always, as we please him, because our lives will produce all kinds of good deeds and will grow in the knowledge of God, praise his name. And so, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You know what? You can be made strong with the strength which comes from the Lord's glorious power, so that you may be able to endure everything with patience and with joy. Give thanks to the Heavenly Father who's made you fit to have your share of what God has reserved for you and for the kingdom of light. Amen. And so when we look and realize that this is the urgency of that spiritual growth, amen, that we saw, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm glad I was rescued from that power of darkness and brought safe into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so I'm glad I've been set free and our sins have been forgiven, is what he's telling us. Amen. And so through this, we see the hope of alignment of our lives in that direction. Amen. Because God's prayer is one of the most powerful things that we can do. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. And so I'm glad that that is one of the greatest things that we can always hope for. Praise God. When we look, because we've been set free and our sins are forgiven. Amen. Here, as we look at growing in Christ, we move on. God fills us with a knowledge of his will in verses 9 and 10. Also, God provides endurance and patience in verses 11 through 14. With God. What did I say a while ago? One of the first things that it is would be prayer. Prayer is always regular communication with God. Through prayer is one of the most essential for nurturing the intimacy and the dependence on him, praise God. And so, what's the second thing that you can practice that helps you grow in your relationship with God? Well, scripture reading, praise God. Studying, getting into the Word of God regularly, besides just Sunday morning, Sunday school, and Wednesday night Bible study. Get in it on Tuesday. Get in it on Thursday. Get in it on Friday. Get in it on Saturday, hallelujah, that it deepens the understanding of your character and your will, your purpose to engage in that, praise God. And so each and every one of us, when we look and realize what all that God does for us, that third thing that we can do is worship, praise God. It draws us closer together in that time of worship that we can have with one another, that God wants to make it great for us as we engage in that time with other believers, cultivating a lifestyle through music, reflection, and thanksgiving, amen, that we express our love and reverence for him, praise God. Also, many of you may not like this, but fasting is another one. Periods of fasting from food and other distractions that can bring you a little bit closer. Refocus your attention on God. Seek his direction. Cultivate spiritual sensitivity, praise God. Fasting helps break free from all of those worldly attachments and draw closer to the humility and humbleness and dependence upon God, amen. Find a place and get out there in silence and solitude, amen. And I thank God as we go out there. Fellowship with other believers as well, amen, that he shows us about as we get out and do those things, praise God. And then I'm glad that in the community that we can encourage one another through accountability and then service and acts of love that we do, praise God. Gratitude and thankfulness that we can do with others. I'm glad that Rick Warren said, do not worry about growth, worry about health. All living things grow. And so, you know what? You can have a big, big day when you get out there and when you begin to try to change things. But you've got a lot more work to do when you mature somebody. And so we also can help one another stand firmly grounded in Christ. Because in verses 21 down to verse 23, we look in Colossians chapter 1. And here, when we look at this intimacy with God, amen, I'm glad we look at the developing of a character, and I'm glad that we cultivate a deep relationship with one another by doing that, amen. A service to others alongside personal growth in Christ, that we do it as well. Also, our character that we have along with one another by helping each one grow godly character and fruitfulness that he's talking about here as well. That's the great things that we learn and how that we can help one another stand firmly grounded in Christ that he's talking about. And also with our maturity that comes with all of this, that Paul speaks of his own ministry, emphasizing the goal of representing every believer serving and teaching one another, helping cultivate spiritual growth, amen, to obtain a deeper understanding of God's truth, to live worthy of our calling, faithful to our God-given purposes, amen. We go forward and we see that he tells us in the Word of God that our hope is in Jesus, because he said, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unprovable in his sight. Praise God. I'm glad that when we look at this, he tells us at one time you were far off from God and were his enemies because of the evil things that you did and thought in verse 21. But he says, by means of the physical death of the Son, God has made you his friend. I'm glad in order to bring you holy and pure and faultless into his presence. Amen. He said, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He's telling us that you must, of course, continue faithful on a firm and sure foundation. Amen. And not allow yourselves to be shaken from that hope that you gained when you heard the gospel, first of all. It is of that gospel that Paul became a servant, the gospel which has been preached to everybody in the world, amen. And so our hope is in Jesus. Here, one of the cardinals, Cardinal John Henry Newman, said, growth is the only evidence of life, amen. And so what are some things that has helped you stay grounded in your faith, amen? Well, many of us, we look and we see that regular prayer and scripture study, as I said, community with other believers, worship and church involvement, spiritual disciplines, amen, mentorship and discipleship, service and mission, all of these, even trusting God's promises. Hold on to the promises of God found in the scripture, praise God. Listen, take this later on and go back through it and look at some of the things that you can stay grounded in your faith, praise God, because I'm glad that every one of us, Lifeway, they teach us about how that we can disciple, how that we can learn, how that we can cultivate, how that we can serve, praise God. These are some of the things that we're able to connect to the things that are around us, amen. And so when we look at the wheel of Lifeway, of how they've put things together for those that are dead of unbelief, but they're born again, the infant, I praise God, how that they learn a new truth, new habits, and then all of a sudden a child connects to God. They connect to the small group. They connect to the purpose, our purpose, and then they're equipped for ministry as a young adult. They're provided ministry opportunity as a young adult. They're released to do ministry as a young adult, praise God. And then when they become mature as an adult, I'm glad that they discover, hallelujah, the discipleship process, the release to disciple another one with help, and to release to disciple alone with someone else, amen. And they learn the gospel, because that is how it is when you begin to start out and learn and connect and serve and disciple. We can also help one another reach maturity in Christ. In verses 24 down to verse 29, amen. From the intimacy, the service, the character, the grounded, and the maturity of growing in Christ, that he goes on, he says, now listen, not only was there urgency of spiritual growth, but there was a ministry of nurturing. But now, as we grow in Christ, and as we should encourage and help one another to grow in Christ, thirdly, we see a call to discipleship. Because Paul's commitment to presenting mature believers to Christ challenges us to invest in that spiritual development of others, amen. And so I'm glad that here he's telling us that now I'm happy about my sufferings for you, he says. For by the means of that physical suffering that I'm helping to complete what still remains of Christ's suffering on behalf of the body of the church, he's saying. And he goes on, he says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Here he says that I've been made a servant of the church, and I've been given the task to perform for your good the task of fully proclaiming his message, because by this time you've grown up. And by this time, not only was there urgency of spiritual growth, a ministry of nurturing, but there was a call to discipleship. And through that call, he said, even the ministry which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. He tells us it is a secret that he hid through all past ages from all the human, but now is revealed to his people, he says. But he goes on, to whom God would have made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he says, God's plan to make known his secret, the rich and the glorious secret, which he has for all people. And the secret is that Christ is in you, which means that you can share in the glory of God when you grow in Christ, amen. He goes on and he says, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And so, we preach Christ to everyone, don't we? And with all the possible wisdom that we warn and we teach them in order to bring one into God's presence as a mature individual in union with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he said, lastly, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. We get this done by the toil and the struggle and at the work of using the mighty strength which Christ supplies and that he works in you and I each and every day, praise God. Our mission is to share Christ in verses 24, 25, 26, and 27. And then spiritual maturity is a lifelong pursuit in verses 28 and 29 that I'm reiterating. I want to make sure you understand what I'm telling you. I'm going to get it straight with you, okay? And so here, one of my most favorite of all ministers, Adrian Rogers, said, to grow in Christ means to become more and more like him, reflecting his character, his love, and his grace in our daily lives, unquote. And so, what are some of the characteristics of a mature believer that every one of us face in this life? Amen. One of the first things, as we grow in Christ, suffering is unavoidable. But if we're not careful, you know what? Suffering can slow down growth. And our mission is to present everyone as mature in Christ. How do we do that? We claim Jesus as the hope of our glory. And we warn one another about the sinful dangers that could drag us away from Christ. We teach the complete wisdom of God contained within the scriptures. And as we work diligently with the power God gives us generously, we gradually mature in Christ. Why do we need other believers in order for us to mature in Christ? Well, there's a deep faith. You see, mature believers have a strong, unwavering faith in God, rooted in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, that spiritual discernment. They possess wisdom and discernment, able to distinguish between that truth, that falsehood, and make decisions guided by God's word according to the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit, hallelujah, that they demonstrate as a wise, mature Christian, that love, that joy, that peace, that patience, that kindness and goodness, that faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in their attitudes and in their actions, humility of humbleness, praise God, as they humble themselves and recognize the dependence on God and acknowledge their own weaknesses and shortcomings. We see not only a deep faith, spiritual discernment, fruit of the Spirit, humility, but a servant's heart, because mature believers have a servant's heart, that they're willing to serve others with love, compassion, following the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. And then the steadfastness that comes with it. They remain steadfast in their faith, persevering through the trials and the challenges with patience and trust in God's faithfulness. And then that love for others. They show genuine love, amen, and care for others, seeking to build up and encourage fellow believers, sharing the love of Christ with those that are around. And then last but not least, commitment to God's word. You got to make a commitment to God's word like you do a relationship. Oh, you ain't never made a commitment to a relationship, so you don't know how to make a commitment, because you've shacked up and lived with somebody all your life. You don't even know what commitment is, do you? Oh, God, help us here. Well, then you need to prioritize. You need to study and apply God's word in your life. Allow it to shape your belief and values and your behavior. But let you know what? They say there's one to grow on. Here's one to grow on. Spiritual growth. And that is, they're continually growing, maturing in relationship with God, striving for a deeper intimacy. And so each and every one of us, as we go through life today, we need to have that. I tell you, I could go on and on with fellowship and accountability, generosity, boldness, and witness. But those are some things that we will learn in due time, because that's what mature believers are, helping others that need to be around somebody that is no longer on the milk, but are on the meat of the Word of God. Now, one of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, he says, mere change is not growth. Growth is the synthesis of change and continue. And where there's no continue, there's no growth. And so that's what we're dealing with today. Why do we need other believers in order for us to mature in Christ? Encouragement and support. Iron sharpens iron. Community and fellowship. Spiritual gifts and diversity. Modeling and mentoring. Accountability and correction. Mission and service. And so, when we live it out, as I get ready to close out, and assess ourselves spiritually, using the principles outlined in the book of Colossians, that requires an examination of our faith in light of the teachings found here this morning, how can you do it? Well, access what's those specific areas of your life. Do you need to see progress in your spiritual maturity? Then access your life, acknowledge that area, and ask God for help. Praise God. Acknowledging God's will, yet we can reflect on the activity to seek to understand through prayer. Intercede and take time this week to pray specifically for each person in your group, in your family, in your classroom, and your friend. And last but not least, encourage one another. Encourage one person in your family, our friends, and every day this week. Make the encouragement specific to that individual and related to growing in Christ. Because I'm glad, I would love to challenge you this morning as we get ready to leave, that you know what? There's some things that no one else can do. And that is, I want to challenge you to make a commitment to Christ. Because the Romans road says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That commitment right here this morning, understanding that I'm a sinner, but believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross to free me from the punishment of my sins, I now receive him as my Lord and Savior. But put the finishing touch. From this day forward, I desire to live to please Christ, and I'm placing my trust in him for the gift of eternal life. Listen, why don't you sign it and date it right now, today, and make a bold commitment to Christ with this commitment to Christ card. You don't want to tell nobody? You're ashamed or you're shy, whatever? Print this thing out, put it in your wallet, because somebody needs to know about your commitment. And you know what? You ought to be so happy when you get saved and your name's recorded in the Lamb Book of Life. You ought to be shouting it. You ought to be like old Steve in the old comedy when he ran through the town. The new phone book is here. The new phone book is here. You go, I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved by God's marvelous grace. I'm saved by God's grace divine. I'm saved. Run all over town and shout it and tell everybody, like Steve Martin did in the movie over there. Praise God. When the new phone book came in town. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved to the uttermost. Praise God. Listen, you know what? As we close out in prayer, you can make a prayer out of verses 9 through 12. This is a beautiful prayer that Paul prayed for the believers in Colossae, and that we can use this prayer to intercede for each other. And I hope and pray that you will be able to do the same with us, amen. Because I'm glad that right here, as we take this powerful scripture and we begin to use it to pray with, amen, of the urgency that it means. Write down the verse 12, amen. I'm glad he says, for this cause, we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'm reading from my Bible. because, you know, I'm funny about certain things. I like to look and read with you on the screen, but watch me. He said, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. In verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, where you can see that, where my face has got it marked out. But lastly, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know what? Every one of you can pray this prayer for somebody else and intercede on their behalf. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for the faith and love displayed by our brothers and sisters in Christ. We lift them up in prayer, asking for your abundant blessing to be poured out upon them, Lord. We ask that you fill them with the knowledge of your will and the wisdom and in the spiritual understanding. Grant them insight into your ways and purposes, guiding them in every decision and action that they take. May they walk worthy of you, Lord, pleasing you in all things. What am I doing? I'm praying right from this scripture that's right in front of me right here. And so, grant them insight into your ways and purposes, guiding them in every decision, action that they may take. May they walk worthy of you, Lord, pleasing you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, strengthening them with, as we look, with that hope and glory found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so, listen, the question that we all must answer, every one of us, when we look and realize that question is, of all of the things that's out there today is, listen, are you really doing everything that you could be doing? The spiritual question, or the question that we should be asking ourselves, you either believe that the universe created itself, that non-existent matter somehow manipulated itself into existence, or you believe that a supernaturally all-powerful deity was behind this creation. Because if you don't have an opinion about which religion might be his favorite, it's simple. You know what? Because every one of us, you can always come to a conclusion that there is something greater. There's a creator that created creation. It didn't just bang and explode and happen into existence. And so as I close out, you need to look at yourself as well. Growing in Christ, amen, each and every one of us can grow in Christ, and we can help one another stand firmly grounded in Christ. Amen. I'm glad that we can help one another grow godly character and be fruitful, and that we can reach maturity for all those that are out there today. I hope and pray that you have a marvelous day today. May God bless you with all of our prayers.